Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The Trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalee, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
And without any further ado, I'd like to
say hi to Russell. How are you this evening, sir?
Doing great. Thank you very much. We're having a bit of an emergency, an international emergency here in Lakota land, which is we had a severe, very severe blizzard 2 days ago that here on this area of our country, we have very, very little emergency response. So we have endangered many, many people. And so it is, it's quite concerned. I am quite concerned.
I can understand. I was really disappointed that you didn't get your wish to be elected this week. And
well, it's not over yet. They have still have hundreds of challenged votes to clear, so it's not over until the lady sings, I guess.
Good, good. I'd love to see you in that position. I know I had a traditional teacher who was David Monongi's adopted daughter, and she brought five loads of stuff into with her car past the goon squads back when you were forwarded up there at Wounded Knee. And well, folks, if you don't know who Russell Means is, I guess you've either been on another planet or in stir. This man, I can't think of anybody that's been responsible for more change. It's amazing the footprint that, and I know you get tired of hearing it, Russell, but this show is about Native spirituality. We've interviewed people like Ed McGaugh and Manny Two Feathers, and the format here, we like to kind of run things by the spirit, and we'd like to let you talk. And I won't interrupt you unless there's a pause of more than 3 or 4 seconds. So did you by any chance know Mad Bear Anderson?
Oh, yes. We were at the Trail of Broken Treaties together when we took over the Bureau of Indian Affairs. In 1972.
What kind of a man was he?
He was a very patient man, and of course wise beyond his years. And in his patience, he understood what individual sovereignty really means. And I'm very proud to have known him.
I missed him. Well, I did and I didn't. Grandfather Rolling Thunder was one of my first traditional teachers, and he and Mad Bear were pretty close. But I started walking the Red Road the year that Mad Bear passed away. But I had an experience where I saw a man in a dream, and he... I didn't know till later that it was Mad Bear, but he was kind of the person that gave me the push during a time when I was getting my feet wet on the Red Road. He had a tremendous influence on. If you watch real closely on the series 500 Nations years ago, they flashed his picture. But they didn't say his name, but you could draw the conclusion that he was kind of the person that through his worldwide travels as a merchant mariner traveled and contacted the people all over the world and kind of knitted together a network, and that they were offshoots of that, like the American Indian Movement and a lot of other movements. But would you like to say anything else about reminiscences of Mad Bear?
Well, as you all know, also, he was a profound activist. He knew what he was talking about. And as far as I'm concerned, he was the very first American Indian national or international figure that believed in direct action in terms of reasserting our rights as Indian people and as sovereign people.
Oh, Do you remember the story about his visit to Fidel Castro and what happened after that?
Oh, yeah.
Care to share?
Well, of course, he took it upon himself as a sovereign representative of a sovereign people to establish a diplomatic relationship with Fidel Castro at a time in the world when Fidel Castro was in fact ready to do so. And that was a coup, a very large coup. He and Buffalo Tiger of the Miccosukee Seminole Indians of Florida managed to pull off and embarrassed the United States into beginning to recognize the sovereignty of American Indians instead of just keeping us as prisoners of war.
Well, here we are 45 years down the road, and why don't we spend a little time. I'd like you to tell folks about the Republic of Lakota.
Well, the Republic of Lakota is another reassertion of the sovereignty we indigenous people possess and have never given up. The United States of America, in its continuing deceit, made treaties with Indian nations, 381 to be exact, that were ratified by Congress and proclaimed by whichever president was in office at the time. Which means, according to Article 6 of the United States Constitution, treaties are the law of the land, equal to and on par with the Constitution itself. In other words, it's inviolate. So we waited over 155 years, we being the Lakota, who had two treaties with the United States of America, 1851 and 1868. In 1851, the United States of America came to us. They wanted a highway through our land to the Montana gold fields from St. Louis. We gave it to them, and the result was the 1851 treaty, with the promise that after the gold was dug out, they would leave. Well, they didn't. And they started building forts along the Bozeman Trail, it was called. So, we went to war. And in 1868, after being militarily defeated on the field of battle, we were the first country to ever militarily defeat the United States of America.
Oh.
And that was in 1868, the United States of America sued for peace. We gave it to them. The result was the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty. In there, we ascertained our treaty area, our nation, which encompasses over 60 million acres of land in a five-state area, western South Dakota, the southwestern corner of one quarter of North Dakota, about a quarter of eastern Montana, and about a third of eastern Wyoming, and about 70% of Nebraska, northern Nebraska. That's our country, from the east bank of the Missouri River west. However, as you know, the United States of America and its deceit continue to violate its own constitution and usurp its sacred honor. Consequently, after 155 years of genocidal practices against us, we, the Oglala Lakota, and the Unkpapa, the Sichango, the San Zark, and the Brule, we have redeclared our independence. We have, representing approximately 25% and maybe higher, up to 45% of our entire nation that is colonized on 7 Sioux Indian reservations through the 5-state area. We formally and unilaterally withdrew last December 16th. We unilaterally withdrew from the treaties we had with the United States of America. This is according to U.S. law and according to the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties that every nation in the world is a signatory to. So we have obeyed national and international law in unilaterally withdrawing after over 155 years of genocidal deceit at the hands of the United States government. And that's putting it mildly. So we are now a free and independent country according to the law, and we are holding the United States to its claim that they are a nation of laws. If they are a nation of laws, then we are a free and independent country, because they have unilaterally failed miserably in living up to its own constitution.
Oh, we're going to take about a 2-minute break, and when we come back, let's continue in this vein and for another 10 minutes or so. And would you like to take some calls after that, sir?
Sure.
We'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Well, we're back with Russell Means. We're talking about the Republic of Lakota. A friend of mine taught me quite a bit about Indian law, and Indian law is kind of an arcane subject. It's been, I guess there's been several different winds that have blown through it, and but the first thing I learned was you can't have a nation unless you've got commerce. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your plans for economic development?
Well, in terms of the Republic of Lakota, we live in what is called the Saudi Arabia of wind and sun. We know the basic premise of economics is that those that control the energy control the economics. Now, here you have in Indian country, in North and South Dakota, the finest winds in the United States of America, at least the 48 states. Those winds, just in the western half of both states, are enough power to light up America 24/7, forever. That's how much power we have, and it's free. It is. Let me say that again. It's free.
Oh.
So So we intend to begin the harnessing of that power, not only for our own constituents, but for the constituents of the United States of America and Canada, if they wish. We will be more than happy to sell our free energy to the United States of America and other countries, if they so desire. Now, that's one part. The other is, of course, financial. We will create our own financial institution, which, and there's the eventuality, will become a reality, and that is to issue currency that is backed by precious metals. Consequently, our currency will be worth something, which means it will be able to be inflation-free and deflation-free. Consequently, we will have a stable currency that will be a rock, a firm foundation for the economies of the world. We will also rule by consensus, and that is the only way you can guarantee individual freedom through a representative government. And in order to have consensus, you must allow community development to the degree that they are mini states. And when I say mini states, that they have complete control over their environment. Complete. And they form a loose confederation at a regional level, at an area level, and at a national level. And in at each level, they choose their leaders who will rule by consensus at that level. Now, here's the contemporary idea, is if you can envision it. You've heard of Neighborhood Watch, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And in cities, they even have Apartment Watch, where people collectively get together and watch one another's homes and apartments, and thereby their goods and their property, and help protect that. Okay, we have neighborhoods, whether they're 2 houses, 20 houses, or 200 houses, you will rule by consensus. In that consensus, of course, every decision will be on every aspect that's going on in that neighborhood, be it commerce, and guess what happens, or anything else, education, health, welfare. What happens when you rule by consensus is that everyone is accorded a hearing, and what disappears from society is the need for courts, police, jails and prisons, and lawyers. You just don't need them.
Oh.
Now, people think that is a pipe dream. Well, for me, it is a pipe dream. Sacred pipe. This is how indigenous people have always run their affairs the world over, up to including today and tomorrow. Now, and that's why we're under vicious attack by the patriarchal societies of the world. Now, what I'm saying about this is that the Quakers, that's how they conduct themselves, is through consensus. The Six Nations in both Canada and the United States live by consensus in this contemporary world. One only has to go to Onondaga or Akwesasne or Six Nations. All the areas in the United States and Canada where the Six Nations peacekeepers are, and with their ancient way of life, their government, if you will. So it's It's a reality. It's a reality in both the non-Indian and Indian world right here in the United States of America. So if those two, for lack of a better term, institution, those two culturally and spiritually directed peoples, one white and one Indian, can continue to prosper with unanimity, why can't the rest of us, so that we can all guarantee what the United States was originally fashioned for, individual sovereignty through representative government. That is the promise of the Republic of Lakota. Three very simple factors of life: economics, finance, which is economics, and of course, consensus, which is government. Now, all that that takes care of is health, welfare, education, all the needs of life. But you eliminate much of society that is the negative part, the fear part, so that you actually trust your neighbor and the need for fences are no longer there. And I mean that, very real. What are fences for? What are hedges for? What are moats for? What are castles for? What are forts for? They're all for fear, built out of fear. But with consensus, there isn't any fear because you don't have anyone trying to stab you in the back, trying to take advantage, trying to prosper at your expense. It does away. Now, you can put any label you want on this thesis, this actual way of life that you wish. You can call it socialism, or you can do like Marx does, primitive socialism, or you can call it whatever, but it's really defined by only one word: free. We are free to be responsible. And that is the only axiom of freedom that we need to adhere to. We are free to be responsible. That is the hopes, aberrations, and the reality that the Republic of Lakota is in the process of rebuilding.
Let me ask you, I've got a friend by the name of Red Elk, who was asked by the Joseph Bighead, now known as the Big Island Lake Free Nation, to help them with their sovereignty issue. Now, Big Island Lake Cree are part of Treaty 6, and they have an enviable situation with their treaty. And they could separate from Canada anytime they wanted to, but the thing that they ran into up there was the thing that that I've seen in little tribes and organizations all over the country, and that's a problem with self-esteem. Can you address that? How are you going to overcome that? Well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to get the people behind you?
Well, you know, we're not after unanimity. We're after collectivity. We're after consensus. I can't say that word enough. Now, in the return to self-esteem, it means you have to understand first yourself. When the indigenous male is not and does not want to participate in the competitive, fearful society of the dominant culture, they eventually suffer from low self-esteem because their worldview does not mesh with what's around them. And so they feel badly about themselves. So if you live in a cohesive community that can only exist if everyone agrees, and make no understanding, you know, you don't have to agree if you disagree. There's no policeman standing there, a sergeant of arms or whatever you want to call him. In a society built by consensus, if you find that you cannot get along and agree with your neighbors, then you move to another neighborhood. You don't have to move physically, but you can move politically to another group you agree with, and thereby keeping the consensus intact from group to group. Now, the low self-esteem of the Indian male is explained easily. We do not want to participate in the selling of ourselves. We've never understood why you have to sell yourself like you do in the patriarchal societies of the world. That's the entire basis. It's these patriarchal worlds are nothing but a prostitution of yourself. In other words, everyone that lives in the patriarchal society is a whore.
Oh.
Pure and simple. And if you believe in that way of life, then you will perpetuate fear, you will perpetuate war, you will perpetuate contracts, you will perpetuate police, etc., etc., etc. So consequently, you know, it's like the alleged courts of justice in the patriarchal realm, in which you have competition on who is the better man, not the individual, but the better man in that well of the courtroom. Hell with who you're representing. You're trying to outdo the other. It's a competition. It's not justice. And that's whether it's civil or criminal or otherwise. Now, patriarchy is the nemesis of humanity. And that is what's wrong with the entire world. And if you don't believe it, look back in the existence of the human race. I don't say his story, which they also pronounce real fast, history. It really means his story. His story didn't start until a little over 6,000 years ago when patriarchy reared its ugly head. Should be a hood.
Uh-huh.
And began the overtaking of the world based on fear. Period. Just fear. Now, matriarchy is what keeps the Six Nations and indigenous people the world over from continuing to exist. That's why we still exist, because we understand matriarchy. And you know, that's what the patriarch fears. He fears the closest person to him. He fears the woman standing next to him. He fears that matriarchy means the women rule. And oh my God, he doesn't want to be subservient to a woman. But he's got it wrong. Matriarchy isn't where the women rule. Matriarchy is simply where all the sexes, celebrate each other's differences. Now get that.
Oh.
We are societies that celebrate each other's differences. Thereby, there aren't any negatives. And then we go in so far as to create languages that cannot insult another human being or another living being. You go around the world, and I have been on every continent. I have visited every continent except Antarctica, and I don't plan to try to learn the penguin language.
What?
So I have come across all these languages that are ultra polite, ultra considerate, ultra welcoming, ultra giving and humble. And that's how we ensure matriarchy, by the development of languages that do not allow us to insult a worm, a spider, a squirrel, a hawk, a tree, another human being, or another sex. We have no words for that. We raise our children by never saying the word no. So we understand our beauties. We understand our gifts. Like I say, we celebrate our gifts. Also, there's a reason why we're matriarchal, and it's simple biology. Women live longer than men. Hello?
And
so
smarter
we men who are foolish, we're the takers of life. The women are the givers of life. So when you have that kind of an understanding, you can build a society that lives in peace. And that's matriarchy. And for millions of years, we did not overpopulate any region of the earth, nor did we have diseases, nor did we have anything else going on. It was when patriarchy reared its ugly head is when the human race began to have problems.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Blueauer speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Well, we're back with Russell Means. We're going to invite people to call in now. In the United States, the call-in number is 877-876-5227. That is 877-876-5227. If you're calling from Canada, it's 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And while we're waiting for a call, if you'd like to continue what you were talking about earlier, or anything else you care to talk about.
Well, of course, I was talking about matriarchy. And, you know, matriarchy understands really the balance, the human balance, and what is best for the next generations. But the best part of being a born-again primitive, as I am, is that not only do we understand life, but we understand that we are at the bottom of the food chain as human beings, not the top of the food chain. And of course, if you don't believe that, just take yourself out into the desert or to the mountains or to the plains and to the tundra and just see how long you last.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, because of that, when you understand that you are cursed with the power of reason, because when you look at life, all of life except for the human being continues to follow the instructions of the great mystery generation after generation after generation. We're the only ones cursed with reason. So therefore, indigenous people have built their civilizations based upon what all of their relatives around them, all of the rest of the life, have to teach. Nothing is perfect. And even our art demonstrates that we have that understanding that there isn't anything perfect. So we don't strive for perfection. We strive for accommodation and happiness. But happiness doesn't even exist in our languages because it's a given. It's an accepted way of life, like honor and integrity. You don't have to prove those virtues because it's assumed you have them. You possess them. And therefore, we look at what the birds have to teach. We look at what the trees and the forest has to teach. We look at every aspect of life, and they have something to teach us. They teach us songs. They teach us smells. They teach us how to live with one another. They even teach us how not to live. All of these signs are out there by all our relatives who collectively give us the perfect world to exist in. And we all share and sacrifice among one another. Even the human being and everything that is holy and sacred and good in the entire universe travels in a circle. So we go from birth to rebirth, from death to death, if you will. The point being is understanding your indigenous life ways and the ways of all your relatives, including your grandmother, the earth, and the male entities out in the universe, which give our grandmother, the earth, her lifeblood, her children, her energy, and replenishes that from season to season, revolution to revolution. It's a beautiful way of life. And it is the reason why, when we were a free people, imagine we lived in a hemisphere. If you don't know what we're talking about, here's one thing the white man never asked us when he came to this hemisphere. Up and down this hemisphere, from the North Pole to Terra del Fuego, in Argentina and Chile, at the tip of the southern hemisphere, there was no disease. We didn't even suffer tooth decay. And that is attested to by all the grave-robbing societies of the intellectualized patriarchal world. They call themselves archaeologists and anthropologists. But this is fact, scientific fact I'm relating to you.
It's true.
And we were gene-splicing agriculture when the white man was still grunting around in caves. And let's take another look at the patriarch and his alleged civilization. He's never graduated from the cave. He still believes the only way to settle arguments is with the club. He might have all the buttons to push and the Googles to tap into, but he still settles arguments with the club. What a primitive man. And he belittles the most sacred being on earth, the woman.
True.
I mean, and that's civilization. He has disease after disease after disease. He has prisons. He has unhappiness after unhappiness on unhappiness, all due to fear. It's a crazy, upside-down world, the patriarch has brought to us. And the world is writing itself as we speak. Our grandmother, the earth, is finally tired of the human being. And there's a teaching my mother told me when I was a little boy. If all the green things on earth were to die, nothing on earth could survive. If all the wingeds, all the winged beings, everything that flies, were to die, nothing could exist. If all the four-leggeds were to die, nothing could exist. If everything that crawls and swims and lives within the earth were to die, nothing could exist. But if the human being was to die, everything would flourish. So that's why we are at the bottom of life existence. At the bottom of the food chain, because we're here because the great mystery put us here to pay attention to all that the great mystery represents, to understand the universe, to understand the stars and the seasons and the plants and the water. All that is holy and sacred and good, and it travels, and to understand that everything is rejuvenated one revolution at a time. And that's why there's spring. That's why there's a regeneration of the sun. That's why there are the planets that continually revolve and regenerate. And the stars continue to shine brightly, and the moon is there for the female to enjoy their purification. And we men, we do not have a vehicle for purification. Another reason why we're matriarchal. Hello, there's only one living being on earth that is purified naturally, and that is the woman, the mother of us all. So this is the areas of belief and the system that I was born to. And that's why I consider myself a true revolutionary. I just want one revolution, to go back where we came from. And that is with respect and awe of everything that is sacred and holy and good. Because there is no evil. And you cannot convince any indigenous person anywhere in the world. I've tried. The ones that I have met, whether in Asia, the Middle East, the North, the South, Africa, South America, Central America, North America, out in the islands of the Pacific, everywhere I've met indigenous people, you cannot convince them that there is evil. Because we wake up in the morning and we see that life is a process of integration, a process of sacrifice, suffering, and generosity. And that process rewards us. Rewards us in this life and in the next life. And so, with that kind of worldview, I do not want to see my people die. And if we lose our language, then we lose the essence of our being. We lose our worldview. We lose the breath from our spirit. And our languages and our songs are so important. Now, if it's time for us to leave this earth, we are no different than the other animals and relatives around the earth that have chosen not to live with the patriarch. The patriarch is so arrogant that they actually believe they are responsible for the extinction of life species. That's how arrogant they are. They don't even realize that these life species that have disappeared and are disappearing, they've just chosen not to live with the patriarch. And I understand that. And so, if my people are doomed to the genocidal ways of the United States of America, so be it. I will not cry for my people, because I will know that deep inside through our ancestors and through their spirits that we have just chosen not to compete. We have chosen to leave this life with what the white man calls low self-esteem. And I just call it humility.
Very true. That's quite a paradigm. We've got about 5 minutes left.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
Russell, what's your advice? Let me first say, we talk a lot on this show about how to get in touch with Creator, a direct connection. What's your advice to people that are trying to do this?
Well, the way I was brought up, and that was that every good thought you have is a prayer. And because of the world we live in, my immediate ancestors told me, literally, they told me, the white man says you have to prove that you are good. You have to even prove it to his God. So they set aside times to pray. We don't set aside those times. They're already there. We understand that. Those times are there at all times. That's why every time you have a good thought, that's a prayer. And that's how we stay in touch, by thinking good thoughts.
My last traditional teacher, John Red Hat Duke, pointed out that in Cherokee way, just a bad thought, thought is considered to be witchcraft, and that was hard for me to wrap my mind around for a while, but I'm beginning to understand it, and what you just said reflected that. At the beginning of the show, and I'm sorry if I was insensitive at that time, but is there any way that listeners can help the elders up there on your reservation?
Well, we're in dire straits right now. People can't get out. They're snowed in. We don't have... See, this is why we've called it an international disaster area. On this reservation and on the Sioux Indian reservations, we have very little, if any, emergency rescue operations of any kind. We don't have any firemen on the Pine Ridge Sioux Indian Reservation, which encompasses 4,500 square miles. We don't have a fire department. We don't have but 2 ambulances. And we have very, very few road graders or snow removal. We don't have any snow removal equipment. But we have road graders that are used for snow removal. But like I said, we have 4,500 square miles to cover, and it's totally, totally inadequate. And so people are stranded. People are being rescued by sled and just by the police just walking through deep snowdrifts to try to get to homes. So it's very tough out here. And the best thing that could happen is to aid and abet our international disaster call for emergency relief to get a hold of Representative Charles Rangel, who is chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. The House Ways and Means Committee controls the Treasury of the United States of America. And also to get a hold of FEMA. Because it is a matter of our international security that we need desperately help. People are burning the furniture in their homes to keep warm. And their clothes. It is, people are without water, without lights, without propane, without heat. Fortunately, it is not a super cold. It's just staying relatively just below the freezing mark, but nevertheless, it's still freezing. And I myself, I'm snowed in. And I live about 0.6 miles from the road. The road that goes through Porcupine. And well, that 0.6 mile encompasses a hill, a huge hill, that we have to climb over, and that road on that hill is completely snowed in. So
we've run out of time, and I wish we had more time, but like to encourage everybody to follow through with what Russell just suggested. Also, we'd like to put in a good word for Secrets of an Immortal by Ben Abba. This has been Prophecy Keepers Radio, and thank you so much, Russell.
I need you to send me a copy of this tape, please.
We certainly will, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don. If you'll roll our last break, and thank you very much, sir.
Sure. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio.
You are listening to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, or the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine men of the Americas, the holy people of Africa, or the present-day Ottawahis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times. From the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginali Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello, cousins. I'm fine. How are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Our guest this evening is my friend John James. This man was a friend of a friend, and we ended up doing a website together, and John has a fantastic product he wants to tell you about. And the reason I want you to know about this product is some years ago, Chumash Elder Chokosh Aho'o was called back to Araipi, where 20 years previous she had brought up her children for almost a year and lived with the elders. And so a few years ago, she went to Araipi, which is the center of the Hopi prophecy. We love the elders over Hope Villa, but Hopi prophecy, we believe, is all about Araipi. But oddly enough, Chokosh Aho'o went instead over to Hope Villa, and she was there for 2 days, and nobody came. Finally, the second day, a messenger appeared and said, "If you go to Araipi, they'll deliver the message to you." So it was already dark. She drove over there, bedded down for the night with her kid. No, she didn't have her kids at this time. But early in the morning, she got up just at the crack of dawn and to relieve herself. And she was in the process of doing so. And you can hear her. This is her story. You can hear her interview. I want you to listen to it. But elders came shuffling around the corner. I can't remember how many she said, but she said it was a whole gaggle of them. And they didn't say a thing. They just walked up to her, and they had a message for her. And that message today is called the Hopi 10. It is a checklist to prepare yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally for what lies ahead in the last day. The most important, we're going to be guiding our broadcast. Our theme, we're going to every week, will be one of the Hopi 10. I believe it's number 5 or 6, is Where is Your Water? And, you know, over the years, we've all been introduced to water purifiers and filters. And but the guest we're going to be speaking with tonight knows. I think he knows more about this subject. Unfortunately, he's had the same kind of problems that Ben Stein has produced or portrayed in the recent movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. But tonight we're going to be talking with John James. We're going to talk about accelerated water. John, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Water. Good evening. Good evening.
Oh, my gosh. Our director this evening is Magid Ben-Yosef, and he didn't give me the throat cut sign, so, but he was about to. he's been a guest time or two. Anyway, John, tell us about civilizations, rises and falls, and water.
Well, basically speaking, I've studied back for years on the different civilizations. Like, let's take Rome for example. In Rome, they had lead in the pipes in Rome, and the lead, of course, was a heavy metal that really perverted the Roman thinking, and so it just eventually led to their downfall. The same in Egypt. They planned things incorrectly. The elders told them how to do water and how to take water and where to build along the rivers there, and the younger types didn't listen to them. And we had the same problems in Europe. Too many people too close to water, where they were putting, you know, sewage and other things back into water. It was all profit. And then in the United States here, the colonials, the same thing happened. When the colonials came here, they didn't respect the ways of the American Indian, and they built too close to things, and we had sanitation problems, which we still have today, up and down rivers. And then they industrialized this country, the profiteers from wherever, Europe and whatever, and we just have one, we've disturbed the natural spirit of the water, and the water can't fight back. It's just too much for the water to fight back. So it goes, the good water goes deeper and deeper underground to try to purify itself again. And now, of course, we have Canada, it's a beautiful country, but we have a lot of pollution in Canada, and a lot of it filters its way down here. We have the large profiteers from the steel companies, and up in Canada, the paper mills that have just devastated many of the beautiful lakes and rivers up there. And I heard not too long ago a Canadian naturalist saying there aren't too many lakes in southern Canada that aren't completely polluted, and the same with the rivers. So what do you do to change the whole story? I mean, because when the water that you drink is, your body's made of over 85% water. So if you're drinking polluted water, obviously it keeps degrading the civilization down and down. And it was horrible what they did out in the south, southwest and west and the northwest when they let the capitalists come in and start panning for gold and other materials and doing this mining with large hoses, and they disrupted a lot of the minerals that the water needed, but they disrupted them so fast that the water, it just is living, it has a spirit of its own, and it rebels against it, so it moves deeper into the ground or away from those areas, and that's why we have the problems that we have today with so much mineral mining out there, and water can only handle so much minerals, and then it in a sense dies or really kind of hibernates. And so it's been our problem through civilization. When you have bad water, your civilization goes down the drain, because it's actually like drinking living blood, drinking water, good water.
Oh, well. You know what just hit me? You know, the prophecy, prophecy talks about 2/3 of drinking water. Or what was the proportion that the Bible says is going to be polluted in the latter days? The oceans, pollution in the oceans, some kind of red pollution in the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go on to that, let me ask you a question. What do you know about Cahokia?
I don't have any idea what you're
asking. Briefly, the only reason why is Cahokia became a megalopolis. You know, it was nothing. It had been nothing like it in Indian history. But nobody knows why it went under. You know, and people thought, well, maybe they deforested, you know, too much. But you know, it might have been water, and the Mayans fell because of water. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, that was basically what I was saying, and so water evaporates and retreats to the best place it can, and the water is alive. I'm sorry people don't understand that it's not just a liquid, it's a living liquid, and so your best water retreats through evaporation. It goes elsewhere, into the high mountains or like into the Himalayas. Some of your finest waters are into the deepest jungles. It goes where the more advanced water leaves that area and leaves it to the less advanced water, and because it has to keeping that memory of what it is, and that's how it does that. It you know, it's just like if somebody is in a neighborhood that's not good, you know, and they're good people, well, they move away because they want to maintain who and what they are, and water is no different. And a lot of people just don't understand that water isn't the liquid that you drink or take a bath in. It's a living entity, and we have to assist it now. We don't have an option anymore. And you can see, I've studied enough of the different native tribes in the United States that it's painfully aware that a lot of this problem started with the pollution in the rivers. And you know, the colonialists brought it with them. And they made Europe a cesspool, and they were going to do the same thing here. And
wow.
So water is always trying to keep its integrity, and unless you're helping it and assisting it, and filtering it isn't assisting it. It's just filtering it. It doesn't bring back its natural nature. It doesn't bring back its memory of what it is. It's locked inside that, just like a virus is locked inside of a computer, you know, that you can't get out. It's in there, but you've got to be able to get it out, and that's what I do, is unlock it so that it can come back out and do what it has to do.
One of my past guests work spiritually with water. And actually, two of them have worked with Dr. Emoto. But one of my guests taught people how to get bad forces, call them evil or whatever, but to remember something bad. And there's ways to get rid of that spiritually. But the reason why I wanted everybody, my audience. Because I pledged my arms years ago, I want to help you prepare. I've never seen anything like this because, you know, I'm very heavy, and I've been drinking accelerated water now for, well, I don't know, at least 3, 4, 5 months. And I tell you what, this water tastes naturally sweet. It's slightly alkaline, so it's kind of one of those tastes that you can't quite put your finger on. And but it tastes sweet, and it gives you energy. I like to drink it. I don't like it warm. And I called John and said, why is it that I get so much energy from this water? And you explained to me. But over the weeks, this has really given me a lot of impetus to get out and get moving. So go on, John.
Well, again, what we have to look at here, the reason people drink something you like to drink, beverages when they're, I should say water, when it's hot, is it releases energy. And people don't realize that frozen or near freezing, 39.2 degrees, releases energy too.
I'm drinking some right now.
Right. And water at 39.2 degrees is incompressible. You cannot compress it. I don't care how big, I may be speaking a little bit too much for some people, but in other words, if you tried to push the water together at 39.2 degrees, I don't care if you use the weight of the world trying to push it, you can't push it. It becomes incompressible. And water is alive because it can evaporate. And water cannot be destroyed. It's the only thing that God created that cannot be destroyed. The earth can be destroyed. Everything else can be destroyed. But water, if there was a nuclear blast that blasted the whole earth into smithereens, you'd still have water in an evaporated state. It would cool down and become ice chunks. It would flow through space, and that's what we have. In outer space, we have ice chunks floating the size of a sun or bigger that are floating through space. And people don't understand. Water, you cannot destroy water. It's impossible. possible to destroy water. It took me 2 years to comprehend that. And I said, well, if you did this or if you did that, it can't be destroyed. You can radiate it. You can do everything to it, but you can't destroy it. It will evaporate, go back into its higher self, and wait until it can go to where it has to be.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. As I said, what's incredible is that 39.2 degrees is where water releases its energy, unless there's a way you can tap it, and that's what I've done. But water is the most fantastic thing in the world. It washes away everything. It washes away problems. People say, well, why do I cry when I'm sad? Because it's washing away the memory of what you're carrying. And so people who cry, it's good because it's washing, literally, those tears are washing away that vibration and that memory to go elsewhere. And it's the most incredible thing that there is. And water can do anything. It is the most healing thing we have. When they call it the universal solvent, what they really mean to say is the universal solution.
Yeah.
And the solution to all of our concerns. In one drop of water, we have enough energy to power a major city for a day. In one drop of water, if we would just be able to unlock that power. That's how much energy water carries in one drop.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Magid Ben Yosef, our Torah teacher, puts the Apocalypse of John, chapter 8, otherwise known as Book of Revelation. Chapter 8, verse 8, and it says, Then the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And I know you're going to be talking tonight about how you can reclaim rivers. See, we've got this problem, particularly in the rivers back east, with necrotizing. Keep talking, John. I'll shut up.
Well, it's fine. You have a lot to say. The basic problem with our water today, since we did all the mining that we've done and a lot of things that we've done, we have stirred up the earth. And the water is the blood of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We've created an open wound, just like if somebody created a, cut you open, and this water is trying to heal itself. And when you look at all the damage we've done by disrupting the earth, we've pulled its belly open, and we've released all these minerals and oil and everything else that we've released, and it was never intended to be that way. So what we have to do now is we have to break down, which nature does normally, and the sun, and we have UV that helps break down many things, which is a wonderful thing, and we have ways of cauterizing that wound. But first, what we have to do, and I want to try to say this as simple as possible, we have to take the water that's there, revitalize that water, and the only way we can do that, which we're trying to do what nature does naturally over a long time, we're speeding up the process, and we're allowed to do that because it's beneficial. We're breaking down the solid that nature and the water can't do by itself. And so our alternative to that is to have the whole world like a pond that finally overgrowth itself with growth, and the water will then migrate away from it. And that's what is going to happen if we don't do something about the water. So in other words, it's like if you look at a pond that has no circulation, and it overgrows with weeds and lily pads and everything, and it finally chokes the water away and regrows that earth there. It might take 50 or 100 years, but the water migrates somewhere else, and it tries to be beneficial elsewhere. But we have to work, we have to go, and we have to say to the water, look, we're here to help, we're going to do this, and we're going to help you break down these solids that you can't handle. And we have all these floods that we have in the world. We have floods because man has gutted the earth, and this blood has to flow somewhere. So, for example, a healthy river will never overflow its banks. A healthy stream will never overflow its banks. It never will. And you can see part of that in Europe in some spots where even though the rivers get swollen, they will not overflow their banks because the water knows how to compensate for higher amounts of water and lower amounts of water. But in this country, we just don't have that because we have opened so many cuts in the earth, and this earth is bleeding, you might say. And we have to stop that. So we have to start to cauterize these wounds that we have. And the only way we can do that is to start breaking down these minerals and things that are, have leached into the water. We have to get, we have to break them down into a finer state so that we can utilize them. The only place in the United States where you can see this process, how it works, is in the Mississippi Delta there. There's a lot of silt down there, and that's the river. The water in the river is moving like a double helix. It's moving, and it breaks apart all this stuff, and then it redeposits it down there in the Delta down there. And but it takes over 1,500 miles to do that. Our process does starts doing it right away. It can do it anywhere, on any river at any time, and it helps to break down these particles. They're in the water, and it releases energy when it does that. And so it's very beneficial. And, again, we have cut the, so many holes in this earth through the mining and everything else that the water has no place to go anymore. We tarmac shopping centers, streets, mm-hmm. roads, and everything. Water has no place to go. It has no place to go, so it goes where it can go. And it tries to compensate and not hurt, and more people have been killed in floods than any other pestilence, war, or anything in time. And if they would have left the water to be as it's supposed to be, all this flooding we have in the United States and a lot of these places, it would, there wouldn't be any flooding because the water knows what to do. Not to say you should build right on the edge of a river. And a lot of people do that, and that's wrong. But if they built where they should and left the rivers alone, we wouldn't have a problem. But most of our water in this country, you know, 95% of it's contaminated one way or the other. Farmers back in the 40s and 50s used DDT, and that's made from oil, and that leaches far down into the aquifers. And you've got wells that are 1,500 feet deep that have DDT in them, and that's horrible. And so we have to find, we have to have ways to start treating this on a national scale, because filtering water may make it drinkable, but it certainly doesn't make it healthy. It's still not, it goes to sleep, and you have to wake it back up again. And as you say, using different things, spiritual techniques and things like that will help to revitalize water. But how many people can revitalize a lot of water at one time? You know, Dr. Yamamoto or people like that. It's wonderful research that they've done to bring people's attention to this. But how do you, on a massive scale, start to revitalize the water? How do you wake it up and say, you know, don't sleep, wake up, you know? And that's what I have been trying to do for 11 and a half years, is work with ways of revitalizing the water that are very cost-effective, extremely cost-effective, and you can treat any volume of water. It doesn't matter if it's a Lake Michigan or the Mississippi River, and it, the cost would be less than probably one day of the war. So, but it's just getting people to implement that and getting rid of graft and all that and just concentrate on the water. And that's what I've been doing for 11 years, and it's all scientific with me. If I can't prove I can do something under laboratory conditions and under field conditions, then it's just hit or miss. Maybe I'm having a good day, and maybe things went right, and maybe I'm having a bad day, so I can't change something. But with this technique that I use, it doesn't matter whether you wish the water was bad or good or anything. It'll still change the water whether you like it or not. And so what we're trying to do with water all the time is to break down solids, release energy, and take those hyperfine particles now and put them to better use like it used to be. And that's what we're looking to do. And we've done this for industrial heavy metals. We break down heavy metals. We break down bacteria. We stabilize the bacteria. In the human body, it shows that we're able to hydrate the red blood cells at an extremely fast rate. And when you start to be able to do all this, the added benefit is you release energy. And it's beneficial energy, not only for the ecosystem, but for a human being.
Well, folks, John's website is Intel Water, with two L's, I-N-T-E-L-L-W-A-T-E-R, If you're listening now or if you're looking at archives in the future, I'd like you to visit that website and take a look at what he's got to offer. Now, these are really amazing products. When I first met you, oh, Jesus, it's about 6 months, isn't it, John?
Oh, yeah, easy. Mm-hmm.
And the products that you had were the spa balls, which
right.
I've been bathing in now, and we have somebody in the family who I have good news for you. My friend Laura's sister, Annie, her cancer's backing off. She's been coming in every week and several times a week and bathing in with the spa balls, and which is beneficial. And everybody's been on the water now for a long time. And of course, we're using the little Excelospheres, which are big enough to go like in a milk jug. And also, we've had a... Actually, what we did is we switched over to the 5-gallon Coleman and put a couple spa balls in it, and that's how we've been accelerating our water. But this is really amazing stuff. I mean, if you're looking for energy, folks, this is better, way better than drinking coffee all day long.
Well, you know, it was kind of funny, you know, just to bring it up, and this is from I wanted to just not make a plug here, but tell people if they go to the website, we have the water wands that I've sold.
Mm-hmm.
For years now, but we've rechanged the way they are. They're more potent. They're very portable, and the water wands are very good if somebody is on the go or they're looking to just energize their bottle of water and whatnot. That's a very convenient way to take the water with you. You know, you can go to any good drinking fountain or buy a bottle from the store of water and pop one of these things in there. Shake it, you know, for 15 seconds, and you're going to hit, it's going to revitalize the water. It wakes the water up. It says, okay, it's time to get back to work again, and the water will do that, you know.
It's amazing. And folks, I want you, for the native folks out there, I want you to know that John's a very charitable man. He's given these away to, I've got a lot of native friends, and, you know, native people have a lot of health problems and challenges that others don't. And there's a lot of Apaches tonight that are drinking a lot better water over there in Walsenburg, Colorado. And all, thank you.
Well, again, and the other thing that people have to understand about with water, like anything else, you've got to be able to drink enough. If you take a plant and you deny it water, it will shrivel and eventually die. And human beings are the same way. When you see elderly people, and not even elderly people anymore, they could be in their 30s or 40s that start bending over, it's because they're dehydrated.
Mm.
It's dehydration. We're just like a plant. We need that water every day, and we can conserve our water to a certain point, but after that point, we have to hydrate our body, and if we don't do that, we bend over and wilt like a plant. Our skin, just like a leaf, gets all crinkly. And we bend over, and the more you bend over, the closer to death you are. It even gives you plenty of warning. People that have bad posture don't understand that a lot of their bad posture is caused from stress, which is caused from dehydration. And we've got to learn to water ourselves like you would a plant. You would never let your plant go without water. Why would you let your body go without water?
Right. And at this point, you probably recommend people read books like The Body's Many Cries for
Oh,
water.
Excellent. That's an excellent book. They're on the website, too, some of those different articles. I think that, you know, my business is educating, you know, people. I have 10,000 people use this device if one uses it. And one of the great things I like to see is the women who've been drinking this water and then had their first or second baby or third baby, and we call them accelerated babies.
Really?
They seem to.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The one doctor said to me, because I was there right after she had the baby about 2 hours later, and he said, it doesn't look like a baby I've delivered before. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, because it's not all crinkled up and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
And it doesn't, you know, and it looks like it's 2 months old. It doesn't look like it's a brand new baby. It looks like
it's... Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I...
Would you mind taking some calls tonight if we can get somebody to call in?
Not at all. My pleasure.
Okay. We'll I'm rattling. I've got a cane between me and Don's office down there. I'm pulling the chain right now and saying, Don, time to go break. And I'm sure he's laughing. Anyway, Don will interrupt you in a minute. We'll go to break. I'll see if I can pay a bill or two.
I'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Well, welcome back, folks. We'd like to invite you folks to call in. The telephone number, you can go to bbsradio.com. And, John, while I'm looking for the phone number, because I'm sitting in my living room and not in front of the computer, why don't we go ahead and continue as if no one's going to call in, but maybe somebody might call in. I was surprised last week nobody called in. I mean, Russell Mead, most famous Indian in the world. You think somebody else? But I know why they didn't, because it was out of respect. Folks, if you'd like to call in, the number in the United States is 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. In Canada, call us at 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Okay, continuing in the same vein, tell us more, John.
Well, one of the things that was interesting a couple of weeks ago, I get feedback from a lot of people, and hundreds of emails a week, and a lot of people tell me a lot of different things, but it was really something about people that had been drinking this water for just 3 weeks with using the water wand. And one is a famous webmaster, a famous website, and all three of these people were addicted to soda pop. And it was funny, in the same week, within about 4 days, three different people had been using the wand for about a week and a half, and their comment was, and they were really addicted to it. I assume that, you know, people who drink a lot of soda pop know how hard it is to get off it. It's like trying to get off coffee. But this gentleman said he was drinking upwards of 15 cans of soda pop a day.
Oh, my gosh.
After drinking the water for a week, he just up and stopped. It wasn't like he wanted to. He just did. He had a bottle with the water wand in it, and he was drinking that water, and he just up and stopped. And I guess it's been about a month and a half now. He hasn't even drank a bottle of soda pop. And that was in one part of the country. And then there was another gentleman that called me up who had purchased three wands, one for his wife and himself, and they just kept one for their son who's in athletics. And the son who was in athletics said to them, what's that blue thing in your bottle? They said, oh, you wouldn't be concerned about that. And he is 16, being very independent and knows everything. He said, well, I want to try one anyway, you know. And without any taunting from the parents or anything, after about a week, he quit drinking soda pop too, and he's very athletically gifted, I guess, and he's in sports. And his, I guess his coach even remarked he doesn't even want Gatorade anymore. And this was through no coaching from the parents. They didn't care if he did or he didn't do it, you know, because it's hard to tell a 16-year-old anything. And then there was another woman, the same thing happened.
We've got a caller.
Okay.
Caller, what's your first name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Jeannie. I'm in Arkansas.
Hi, Jeannie.
My first time to see your program.
Well, we appreciate you. What part of Arkansas, ma'am?
North Little Rock.
North Little Rock. Well, my mother was born in Lake Village.
On the good side of the river.
What's your question tonight?
Well, mostly just a comment. I'm very intrigued by what you're doing. I've gone to the website to see about getting a water one for my drinking water at work. But also, I was in had not seen Blue Water on BDS before, and I love BDS. And I love the Cherokees, and have been part of the Cherokee turkey. Well, I can't even think right now. I got nervous. Anyway, my husband and my children are Cherokee, and or half Cherokee, half Irish. But it's just always been a part of my culture. Grew up in, have family in New Mexico and Albuquerque, and have Navajo relatives. And I saw your website, I saw your program, and wanted to listen to it. And then was also intrigued with water because I think that is so very important that that we have better water in our bodies and in our homes too. But also was very intrigued by the fact I had not thought of before that the why the rivers do not flood when they are being when they have their proper channel. Well, that was a weird word to use, but anyway, I found that very interesting, and I'm very pleased to hear you guys on the radio, and I'll be back to listen to more.
Well, OCO, Auntie, there are many, many of you there in the Ozarks, and folks who are going to be talking more. I'm going to see if I can, one of my traditional teachers, because I just moved here from southeast or southwest Missouri, ma'am.
Okay.
And there are many, 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 many Cherokee people down there. They moved down there.
Right.
Well, actually, that was our homeland. Then we moved to the southeast and then to the up around the Iroquois. But that area you're in right there, that is the most ancient Cherokee homeland on this, at least in North America. But anyway, go ahead, ma'am.
Well, then also I lived in Tennessee, right almost on the just very near the Trail of Tears, and was part of the Turkey Town Association in Tennessee, which was a church.
Okay.
I just couldn't get it to come out.
Well, you're a cousin. You're definitely a cousin, ma'am. But, yeah, was there anything in specific? Now, if you can go to prophecykeepers.com. If you don't want to type it in Tell Water, but I got a link directly. Well, either place you'll see his banner. But
Blue Water's website. And I already found the water website.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a really special. What do you think, John?
Well, again, as I said for years, I think that what we have to understand is all the. The tribes have to get back together again, and I've offered to many different parts of the tribes that if they're willing to, pay costs and just a little bit of the expense, I'd be willing to help all the tribes, everybody in the tribes, get clean water again at the lodges or at their whatever, because that's what they need to do is reawaken that spirit in them too, and this I know will do it. I've just seen what it does for people, and it seems like the more native a person is to a place, the easier it is for them to respond to this. It just is, whether they be, I've seen it with African Americans, I've seen it with people in foreign countries, I've seen it with the Spanish American people. They seem to do very well with this right away. It's people who have stronger blood, the stronger blood ties to the earth seem to do better with it right away. So, we're looking for anybody in any of the councils or any of the lodges that are looking to help the whole tribe, we can do this very, very, very cheap. I'm not looking to make money to help a lot of people, and we can give them thousands and thousands of gallons of this water a day. It's a very easy process to do, and if they, it would be like going to a church and getting your water to drink, you know, that we can
set this
easy. Up.
I mean, everybody carries around, you know, a liter bottle of water. All you got to do is pop the water wand in, shake it a few times,
right,
and in a few seconds, you got accelerated water.
Right. This is approved, though. What people don't understand is this is approved. This is NSF, National Sanitation Foundation, approved. When we say approved, it means that we can use these different products that we're using to treat whole villages of people and whole cities of people who can't afford a water wand, but we can afford to treat the whole water system in a town. That means
one thing I would like to mention, and then I want to hang up and listen, because I'm very intrigued by what you guys are doing. But my brother also works with the Indian Nations. He teaches paramedics and medical EMT things to all of the Indian Nations throughout the U.S. And I'm going to mention this to him because I think it's something he'll find very interesting, and I possibly can spread the word for you there.
Well, that would be great. Again, this is scientifically provable. This is not something that I think works because I'm a scientific type of a person.
I kind
of
got that.
Yeah, if it doesn't work scientifically, when I can clean up the worst industrial wastewater, and when I say clean it up, it's not that I mean you can drink out of that water, but you clean up the things that have to be cleaned up, like heavy metal.
Right,
and that's,
exactly.
And when you can clean that up, here's what my vision is for the world. It's not to get rich. It's to have people get what happened to me. I was killed in a car crash when I was 45 years old, and I developed this water after this crash. I was also a commissioner of air and water pollution in Illinois, and I saw how they were killing people with the water and what things they were putting into the water. And I have spent every dollar I have to do this, and I am not a wealthy person. I've spent every dollar. I've raised over $1 million to do this through selling these devices and that. So I'm not somebody just sitting in an office somewhere hoping it goes. What I'm looking at is that people understand how cheaply I can put it into a whole town and how even their scientists will say, yeah, it does do what you say, because I have proved this in laboratories. I've proved it out in the worst conditions. And it's so inexpensive to put into a whole city. I don't care if it's 1 million people or 25,000. They could be bathing in this water. They could be drinking this water, and they could be growing things with this water. And that's what my mission is. So
I think it's beautiful, and you have my wholehearted support.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I do want to listen to the rest of your show, so I'm not going to tie up the line any longer. But
Wado, Auntie. Wado for calling.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, this is a very cheap. When you talk about, it's not free, and it's not that expensive either, folks. And tell folks about the what do they call it nowadays? Cost benefit.
That's another thing too that people don't realize is that when this water, when you use this water and you're treating large amounts of this water, and it's a very, very, the process is so simple, it's just really simple. And when you're treating this water, it also has other effects too. As I said before, your animals feel better, your dogs feel better, your cats, whatever. Your plants are going to grow better. People can use this for growing to help. Their plants will grow much better, their goldfish, whatever. It all works, and it's so affordable. It would be so affordable for any town, even a small town who has a main water supply, to implement this system. It's extremely affordable. It's not millions of dollars, and it just takes the time it would take them to make some hookups, the time it would take them to repair a busted water main. They could have this hooked up. And the whole town could be doing this. When you wash your car with this water, you don't need soap. When you wash your car with this water, you don't need it. Your glasses in your house, if they hooked it up to a whole town, your glasses would be cleaner. Everything would be cleaner in your home. You can clean with this water. You wash windows with it. It does a wonderful job of washing windows. It's better than any window cleaner, and that's just with straight municipal water. So this is what we, you know, we want to get out to the people that it is. Now you have to think about yourself drinking it, because you should. I know what a miraculous thing it did for me, because they didn't give me much time to live. And after I put this device, simple devices together, and started doing it, I became more healthy and healthier and healthier. And they told me I couldn't walk, wouldn't be able to walk right again. Well, I walk 3 miles a day, and I can run a short pace. They told me I wouldn't be able to use my arms again to throw a football. Well, I can throw a football fine. And I'm 58 years old, and a lot of my gray hair is gone. I had a lot of gray hair when I was 45. And I feel normal. And I don't eat designer health foods and all this. I eat just basic good foods. But I didn't have the money for vitamins and minerals. And, boy, when I didn't have this water, I didn't feel good enough.
Move on to something else.
But for 10, 11, almost 11 years now, I have not had a cold, a flu, fever, anything.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
Nothing. I go out in cold weather. I don't get cold like I used to, and many, many people tell me that, and they say they don't get hot like they used to, and I sleep very, very well. First time in my life in the last 10 years,
I'll tell you what it's done to me.
Yeah, go right ahead.
This is really interesting. Because I'm so heavy, I spent a lot of time on my derriere. Well, I've noticed, particularly in the last couple of months, not a mental restlessness, maybe coming up from depression to into the realm of normal mental activity. It's a healthy restlessness that makes me want to get up and go do something.
That's called energy.
Yeah.
That's
called energy. I've been in a state of inertia, at least 20 years now.
Oh, I can imagine. A lot of people out there today, Luader, tell me how tired they are. And because they don't have any energy. And, you know, people who say that they have a weight problem, you know, and feel bad about having the weight, it's because they're not getting enough of the right water. And when you drink enough of the right water, I had a woman here, 73 years old. She started with the water wands, and 2.5 weeks later, she's in a assisted living home. She lost 29 pounds. The manager of the assisted living home had, I call it stored water. She had the same problem. She lost 16 pounds, and both of them remarked, you know what? The funny thing is, I don't feel like eating as much as I used to. I don't feel like eating. But what the people who have to understand about having extra weight on them is that it's water. It's not a lot of it's not fat. People say it's fat. You know how if you put fat in a skillet, how long it takes to burn it at high temperature? It takes a long time. It's the water that people are storing, and they store it to protect their different organs, to keep them cool so they don't overload. And so once you start getting the water you should be getting, the old water can now be gotten rid of, and the new water comes in. And it's nothing for people who've been on this water for a while if they watch what they eat, to not lose weight. There's just no doubt about it. Your complexion changes. If you bathe in this water, your skin will get softer. There's just no doubt about it. I have different people tell me, you have such soft skin, you know, and it's just from the water. I don't do any great cosmetics or anything else. And when you wash in this water and bathe in this water, it's a treat. After a while, you say, my God, how could my skin be like this? We have a woman that called me up about 4 months ago and had a Down syndrome young man. Her son's about 23, and he had these horrible lesions on his legs from whatever it was. They live in Florida, and she was using our aquaspheres for about 3 weeks and having him bathe in them every day. And she was taking pictures because she says, if these things don't work, I'm sending them back. And I said, well, you have every right to do that. And here it is, about 4.5 weeks later, she said they're almost gone, and he's had this problem since he was about 14 years old. So it's not a miracle. The miracle isn't what the product is. It's what the product does. It makes water water again.
And you know, now, I'm going to joke around a little bit right here with John. Because I've got a friend by the name of, and I'm not going to, John, don't worry about it. I'm not going to tell folks what, you know, what my friend thought he found. But anyway, I've got a friend who's a civil chief. His name is Three Eagles, Robert Shrewsbury. And Robert's been a treasurer all his life, and he recently developed a machine where you can find any element on the periodic table. Say if you're standing in the middle of a desert and you're looking for gold, well, his machine, through a simple antenna, L-shaped antenna, using the same process as the oil companies use to find oil, he can find gold, silver, whatever. But he thinks he might have found what's in those balls, and I won't say the exact thing, but it did have something to do with hydrogen. But before you respond to that, John, I want to tell folks, you know, everybody's seen The Wizard of Oz and everybody's seen The Tin Man, okay? What took me so long to understand is that our bodies oxidize just like a nut and a bowl rust together. And so are you basically, it seems like, John, you're describing to me the process of what do they call it? They call it antioxidation.
Right. Well, we've shown in lab reports just using the water wands or the aquaspheres in water that it brings your oxygen demand down to zero. So now your body isn't robbing oxygen from the other parts of its body to do things in there. And so, in essence, you aren't rusting away anymore. It's breaking down heavy metals inside the body. And if you go to the website, intelwater.com, you will see where we show scientifically breaking down chromium heavy metals. And, I mean, one picture's worth 1,000 words, and there's all kinds of a documentation to back that up. Now, if it could do that in a heavy metals bath, what can it do in the human body? What can it do? We need minerals in our body, but not at the size the minerals are. The size of minerals we get in our body are like golf balls, and they should be the size of BBs. And this process breaks down those golf ball size or these baseball size minerals into like little BBs. And when it does that process, it releases energy. It's like when you put logs on a fire, they're real big. And when you add heat to it and start burning the logs, you do two things. You release energy, and you create that fine powder, which is good for growing and everything else. So,
John, I don't know why every hospital in this country, every nursing home, every school, every facility,
right,
public.
Exactly. Sure.
But you know what? If the towns are hooked up to these things.
Well, here, let me explain something real quickly. Just
you know?
To tell you, we had these tested in a hospital in Chicago. And I'm sorry, in Cook County, Illinois. The gentleman said, I think this is bunk. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's try these in the worst environment we can, which is an X-ray processor. X-ray processors have a bath that has minerals and chemicals in it that process the X-rays. And they're closed up all the time, and there's very low flow of water in these processors, much like the human body, and they get a lot of bacteria and algae builds up in them. So we had six that we tested with the device and six that we didn't. And after a period of 1 month, all the algae was gone in the six that we installed the devices on. And he gave me reports on that. It changes the specific gravity of the water, so it makes the water lighter, and it also reduces the mold and algae. We don't want to kill all the good bacteria, but it's we like to say we stabilize that bacteria. Now, these were tests done in a hospital under hospital conditions with the best analytical equipment going.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's just like the human body. When you put something in a dark place where there's very little water and it's dark and it's humid, bacteria and mold will grow. Well, in six of them, within 30 days, there was no more bacteria or mold growing in them.
Now, folks, the show's almost over, and I want to tell them, you know, if you're thinking about getting ready for hard times, it's something you're going to need to have. Because when you get under stress, you're going to need something that's going to help you even out your energy and help you think better and think clearer. And first, John's not making any claims because the FDA,
no.
You know, but that's the way I feel. And I'll tell you what, I've got 10 people around me that all agree with me.
If you're looking to drink more water, then this is the only thing I know, and I've researched everything. It is the only thing I know that will help you to drink more water, and that's a claim I will make to anybody, because you will drink more water.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. You will drink more water, and even if your water isn't the greatest in the world, even the fact that you drink more water using this process, that in itself is worth 100 times what you pay for it.
We had a question here from Magid Ben Yosef. He, our Torah teacher, our resident, he's one of the few Gentile authorized Gentile Torah teachers. Well, yeah. Well, he's not a Gentile. He's a Jew versus a Jew. But he's authorized to teach Torah to non-Jews. But anyway, what he wants to know, speaking of Jews, that's our lead in, he wanted to know which is healthier, orange juice or accelerated water.
Well,
sounds like we've got a caller, believe it or not. Caller, what's your name? Well, folks, we ran over. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Otter. God bless.
Thanks
you.
Thanks a lot. Hey, bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh-grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Hey.
of other times, let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper.
Thank you.